Hey, everybody, it's Eric Green from Tax Rep Network. This is the weekly podcast. And what I'm going to talk about today is why parents should file a lien against their kids. And I'm not joking about that, actually. And so what I want to talk about is something we see frequently. Obviously, we do a lot of tax resolution work, and people will come in who have tax problems, as well as other creditor problems, and they will have borrowed money from family. And inevitably, they get very upset when we inform them that, unfortunately, that family member is probably out of luck because the IRS or the State Department of Revenue or other creditors have now filed liens or judgments and are now secured. The parents are unsecured. And so, again, what I want to talk about is, I'm calling this why every parent should file a lien against their child. And I want to talk to you about this because if you have clients who have indeed either already borrowed money from family or will borrow money from family, I want to tell you what they really should do. And I'm going to show you walk you through an actual tax case that we had recently, which I think will illustrate this very clearly. So if you're new to the podcast, I'm Eric Green. I am with the boutique tax firm of Green & Sklar's. We have offices in New York and Connecticut. I'm also the founder of Tax Rep LLC and the Tax Rep Network. But some other information about me, I mean, if you've been on the podcast, I'm sorry, but I'm a past chair of the Connecticut Tax Bar. I'm a fellow of the American College of Tax Counsel. I have done this for 18 years, okay? Everything tax. I do estate planning. I do some business planning, but mostly what we are known for as a firm and what I am known for personally is civil and criminal taxpayer representation. I am the author of the Accountant's Guide to IRS Collection. My newest book is coming out in another week. That is the Accountant's Guide to Resolving Tax Debt. You know, tax debts, installment agreements, offers in compromise, and uncollectible status. And this is my weekly podcast for Tax Rep Network. So some of you have emailed me, which I really appreciate. I love the questions. Many of you have joined Tax Rep, but I get a lot of questions about what is the Tax Rep Network. So I just wanted to take a moment to tell you what prompted this is I get almost all of my business speaking to groups of accountants. That's where 99% of my business comes from. And a number of years ago, I'm going to say probably about 6 or 7 years ago, I had, it's a small firm approached me and said, we'll pay you if you'll teach us how to do this. And so I created a training program. It was 4 hours and it became 8 hours and it got 12 hours. CCH licensed it from me, Walters Kluwer. It became 22 hours and it was the CCH's IRS certificate. It was the IRS representation certificate program is what they called it. And it sold for a number of years. It came time to renew it. I was going to have to spend a lot of hours updating it. We started negotiating. They decided they didn't want to invest any more money in it. And so actually the rights have returned to me. We're updating it now. It will be available through Tax Rep. But so where does Tax Rep come from? Well, after the CCH program launches, I start getting bombarded with emails saying, I'd like to refer cases to you, or what's your hourly rate to consult? And so here's the thing. The goal of this is not to get referrals. Don't get me wrong, we love referrals. The goal of Tax Rep Network is for you to build your practice. Okay, so I launched Tax Rep LLC. It's taxrepllc.com. Also, taxrepnetwork.com will get you to the same spot. It is a monthly membership. It's a coaching program. All right, I'm $450 an hour, although I love referrals. Like I said, if you want to refer, then refer. But the goal here is for you to build your practice. Now, how do you do that if you're just not comfortable? You know, I had the advantage of working at a firm where I worked for people who were former IRS trial counsel. So I had I had mentors in my firm. Since then, I've had to find mentors through other means. The American College of Tax Counsel, the American Bar Tax Section. I have mentors that I call and ask questions of, and I'm stuck on this problem. What do you think? And so that's the goal of Tax Rep LLC, to create an atmosphere and a program and a group of us where we can help people build their practices. Okay. So this year, now the Tax Rep LLC has been around for about a year and a half that it's been active. I mean, I formed it earlier, but it's really been active for about a year and a half. Well, two members have now informed me that in 2017, to date, they have added $100,000 of additional business to their bottom line. And I thought about that and I said, you know, that's great. I think it's wonderful. That was the goal. Why isn't everybody? Why aren't all my members telling me that? And I've thought about this. We do training and I'll help you when you need it. There are a lot of members that I think still don't really quite know where to go with this. So I'm actually starting the $100,000 challenge. Here's the challenge. 2018, my challenge to myself is every one of our members adds $100,000 next year. The 2018 is the year that we actually blow this thing up. So how are we going to do that? Well, I am going to create a roadmap. And what that roadmap is how did I do? I mean, I generally per year, I generate somewhere around 600,000 a year. How am I doing that? What did I do? And so I've begun pulling together the stuff that I've done, blogging, the videos now with YouTube, letters that I sent to other attorneys, you know, divorce lawyers, real estate lawyers, bankruptcy lawyers are all great referral sources. How do we price this service? All right. And what software would I recommend? Now, we don't really use a lot of software. There's one program in particular that we use. I know the owner. We are working on getting some negotiated pricing. I am going to create a roadmap, a marketing roadmap for tax rep members that 2018 should be the year that you build and add another $100,000 to your practice. Or maybe it's the thing that lets you leave your existing firm and start your own practice. All right. That's the challenge. I'm working on it now. That is going to be made available to all the tax rep members. If you're not a tax rep member, now would be a great time perhaps to consider joining us. So with that said, that's my little commercial for the day. Let's get back to the actual podcast. Why should every parent file a tax lien against their child? I know this sounds crazy, but just follow me here. This might be the thing that is the difference between your business, your client's business succeeding, or they at least being protected versus a failure and personal liability and all the rest that goes with it, all right? And I think there's no better way to do this stuff than to go over an actual case that lets you see, okay, exactly what it is that we're talking about. So let's talk about the concrete business. I have Sam. Sam comes to me as a client. Why? Because he owes a lot of payroll taxes, about $297,000. The concrete business is an LLC. Sam borrowed $400,000 to start this business and buy the concrete trucks from his wife. Is unable to, you know, he's unable to really generate enough income to pay the employees and whatever, runs up the payroll tax debt. Ends up in collection. Okay. The revenue officer we're dealing with is notoriously nasty. I've known her a long time. She doesn't have to be that nasty, but she does tend to be. And so what immediately starts is she files a federal tax lien against the company. She is already threatening she's going to seize the truck. She's putting everything out of business. I look at Sam. Sam's a perfect offer candidate. And Sam tells me, you know, when we're filling out the financial, he said, well, I owe my wife $400,000. I said, well, Sam, if she didn't file a lien, that's not going to help us. She's unfortunately, like many wives and parents and friends, and brothers, sisters, she's out of luck. And he said, well, we did file a lien. I had to sign a whole note and everything. I said, really? I'd like to get a copy of that. He gets me a copy of it. So now, intrigued, we pull a UCC search, right? A credit search on the company. Sure enough, her lien is in first place. Her security agreement gives her rights to all property, all assets listed, and it lists everything, right? Equipment, vehicles, trucks, receivables, and it lists every asset that he owned at the time or after acquires. The lien will attach. Sam, how much have you paid back? None. So I informed the revenue officer. Revenue officer calls me back. She said, I need proof. I want a title search. I want to see, in fact, that their lien is ahead of us. I send over the title search. All right. Things go silent for about a week. Those trucks, by the way, these concrete trucks, you know, the revolving, they're worth about $300,000, even used, right? So it's worthwhile. After she reviews the title search, the revenue officer calls up and starts yelling at me. This whole thing is baloney. It's BS. The wife didn't lend him $400,000. Prove that she actually loaned the money, Eric. I don't believe it. Ask Sam. He talks to his wife. The wife's attorney calls me, gets my fax number, faxes over the proof of the wire transfers from the wife's account to the business account that is dated the same time that they signed the agreement. I send it all over to the revenue officer. I said, I'm sorry, I won't name her, Miss Revenue Officer, but yeah, she loaned the money and he has not paid anything. And I got a letter from her saying that she's received no payments on it. And with the interest rate, he owes her close to $500,000 and they are foreclosing and taking their trucks. And the revenue officer called me back a few days later and said, well, I hope she enjoys the trucks. What we did is the wife actually foreclosed, took the trucks, titled them in the name of a new LLC that she owns. She set up a new corporation that she owns that Sam works for, and she leases the trucks to Sam. Now, IRS got nothing from the business. Sam is responsible for about $140,000 of the trust fund recovery penalty, but because he really owns nothing, we got an offer done for $6,100. Okay, so here's the thing, what I want you to take away from. When you have friends or family that are going to lend money, all right, it's going to be used for business, you want to go ahead and do this properly. What I mean by that is the following, okay? They do a loan agreement with the other person. So Sam, he did a loan agreement with his wife. With that is a security agreement that securing this loan is going to be the property. It's going to be the following, and it lists the assets. And then it also says, and any property after acquired. They then file a UCC, Uniform Commercial Code filing with the Secretary of the State, the town hall where the business is it's located, and generally where the taxpayer and Sam also in this case and your client will sign to be personally liable. What this does now is you now have a very friendly creditor in first position. Now I know what's going to happen. You mentioned this and the parents start to flinch and the brother, oh, but I trust little Johnny. I trust my brother. It has nothing to do with trust. This is going to do two things. It's going to protect both parties, you see. It protects, let's say it's the parents, or in this case, let's say Sam and his wife. In that case, the wife is now protected. Her investment in the assets is protected, but she is also protecting Sam. If Sam hits someone and now there's a judgment, she's in first place. She stands as a firewall between all the other creditors and Sam, okay? So parents or other lenders will protect their investment. The child or recipient is protected from other creditors. The only downside in all this is you got to deal with a lawyer. And trust me, as a lawyer, I hate other lawyers too. But this is something that I'm telling you is money well spent. Have the client go and do this. Now, what if your client has already done this? You're listening to this and you go, oh man, I got like 12 clients. It's okay. I would call them and say, look, I know this situation has now arisen in other cases. I know you borrowed money from family. I'm going to make a suggestion, and I'm not trying to just run up your fees, but I would suggest you, let's get a lawyer. You guys memorialize that note, all right? You do an agreement. I lent you X number of dollars on such and such date. Here's proof that I did it. You want that in the file. I need a loan agreement from you, a security agreement from you, and we will be filing a UCC to protect our interest. It's okay to do it. What you never want to do is backdate something, okay? We don't backdate documents, all right? But it's okay to memorialize something from before, as long as you can show that they legitimately loaned the money. then by all means, you can do this. This is to memorialize the loan you gave me in 2010. It's perfectly fine. Now, if another creditor has already filed something, you can't get ahead of them. They're now ahead of you. But if you do this, and let's say next year there's an IRS problem or a State Department of Revenue problem or a lawsuit and a judgment problem, they will be behind the lien from the family member. Okay? This may be the best planning idea or planning advice you can give a client, because if everything hits the fan, they now have a friendly creditor between them and whoever that nasty creditor is, whether it's the IRS, the state. And so what happened? Okay, they're in front of them. The IRS is threatening to seize. Well, they can't. There's a creditor, a senior creditor ahead of them. And by the way, I know there's a misunderstanding. The IRS lien does not jump ahead of other legitimate loans. All right. They don't get to leapfrog it. There's a theory out floating around that, oh, a tax lien is a superior lien. Yeah, no, it isn't. They don't get ahead of the bank. They don't get ahead of any other creditor, provided that other creditor does what they're supposed to do. Okay. Which is what we're talking about now. So what you do is you have the person do this. Get everything secured, file the UCC, and that's it. They have a tax problem later. The IRS files its lien. Your parents, the wife, the whoever it is, the creditor, simply alerts that they are foreclosing and they are taking their property. And they can literally give notice that they're foreclosing and come and literally physically seize the property, retitle it in their own LLC or their own business, or sell it, and they can take the proceeds. And what happens when they foreclose? They wipe out everybody else behind them, including the IRS, including the State Department of Revenue, if they've done the thing properly. They've got the loan documents, they've got the security agreement, and they got the UCC, and they can back it up with that they proof that they actually loaned the money. If they did this in cash, they got a problem. You can try it, but if you can't prove they actually paid the money over, you have no written paper trail, you got a problem, especially with the government. All right? But if you've done everything properly, this works extremely well. All right? So listen, short podcast this week. If you have any questions, shoot me an email at egreen@gs-lawfirm.com. Otherwise, go check out Tax Rep LLC. All right? Keep listening to the podcast. We're going to be doing a special program on November 30th. I'll put more information out on next week's podcast, but we're going to be doing a one-hour webinar on tax resolution, basically to celebrate the launch of the new book, and there will be a discount code, all right? It will be provided if you're interested in the book. So keep listening. Thank you all for checking us out, and I'll talk to you next week. Thank you.